There is so much that I want to talk about today. I hope that you can switch on a little bit of your longevity in listening, because who knows, you've got to make the most of being somewhere in person. It is helpful. We'll send videos and we do online meetings, but there's nothing quite like being here face to face. And so I want to cover a whole lot of ground today. And I believe that this is not a one-off event Sunday, but this is the beginning of a brand new day. And I want to help, just quickly close and bring some closure to some of the past season. I want to help you understand what I have been sensing God doing in the church through this post-COVID season. I want to release a heartbeat statement to us. The leadership team of Rhythm City, Newcastle and Nairobi have been working on a one statement summary to try and communicate to people about what it is to be a part of Rhythm City. And so I'm going to unpack that, and in doing so, I'm going to help you understand about where we're going in the future, and send a big invite to all of you to be part of that. And so it is so good to see people that I have been family for 7 years now, since we started the church in 2015. People like Kate, all the way from Navasha, right? Today, you've come down to be with us, and many others. Ruth, you know, there's so many. And if we haven't met, then I would love to. If you've joined the church since I was here last, I would love to connect with you after the service, hear more about your story and about how you came to be here. And I've got more to say about certain people, but I just want to do that in just a moment. The last 3 years have not been easy years for humanity. Or has it been easy over here? Maybe it's just Australia. It's been a wild few years, right? There has been so much going on. And particularly for our church, in the midst of all that's been going on around the world, there has been so much going on in Rhythm City. And I want to be a little bit honest today. I unpacked a lot more of this in some midweek meetings, and thank you to all of those people who were able to make that. And so we recorded those, and you can listen to the full version when that becomes available. But I just sort of wanted to point out why, you know, sometimes there's different seasons in church life. There's times where nothing seems to go wrong. We're on the mountaintop. It's easy. Serving's easy. Relationships are easy. All the things that we do, it's just beautiful. And then there is times where the pressure is on. There's times where there is challenges in our midst. There's times where we are trying to figure out things together. And the last 3 years, that regardless of how much these things have affected you directly in a way that you're aware, there have been things that have gone on in the life of Rhythm City, Nairobi, that would make an already challenging season around the world even more challenging. For instance, one of the reasons... No, I can't use the tissues. One of the reasons is because when Jamie and I left in 2019, I didn't know at the time, I didn't have words for it, but I didn't know I was experiencing a high level of anxiety. We talked about that, and it's been a beautiful time of restoration and wholeness and healing. But it's been a journey. It's been a journey. Did not know this was all in here. We, you know, when we left in 2015, we thought that we were going to have a baby and come back and continue on as normal in Nairobi. And then about a month before Elsie was born, I just felt a strong sense and knowing on the inside of me that we were not going to live full time in Nairobi again. And that was very confusing amidst all that we were walking through with a baby pending. with our house still here and belongings that we'd set up over 4 years. It was a very big time. And so we're trying to discern that. So that was huge. And so that led to us going on a journey. And again, I don't want to labor on this, so you have to listen to the extended version later. But obviously, that led to a change in our plans, to the expansion of the church in two locations, and having to do that online. I mean, who does that online? That's a very hard thing to do online. To say, hey, family, we're not going to come back and live here full time. We're actually going to this vision that's been in our hearts for a number of years is actually starting to outplay. And we're going to do this. And you know, the overwhelming message from Jamie and I in all of this is thank you for standing here. Thank you for being flexible. Thank you for not here. And also, sorry. Sorry for the pain that might have caused you hearing those things online rather than in person. Yeah. Everyone has done their best over this season. And sometimes, it's in seasons like this, the best isn't good enough.
Thanks.
And those two things aren't at odds with each other. They can be held in tension. And that's where the grace of God comes in. Where when broken humanity and people on journeys together do their best, and there's still things that let people down, where we walk together in the love that God has for us all. And so I want to thank you for extending that love to us. Amidst all that, as we mentioned, COVID happened. Amidst all that, we were navigating a new parent season. Amidst that, month one of lockdowns, Kevin and Simba have twins. There is a huge amount of challenge in trying to navigate all of this. To be honest, all of that combined brought a bit of tension to us as a leadership team. And do you know what? That's okay. Because it's not always going to be perfect. Church is not a place of perfection. It's a place of commitment and mercy and grace and walking out community together. Community can only be authentic when it's been given a chance to be tested and you choose to stay rather than walk away. That's what community is. And in light of all that, I want to say that Pastor Kevin is one of the greatest young men on the planet. Without a doubt. Like a good Kenyan swimming teacher, we threw him in the deep end. Said, swim. And he not just swam, but he gave everything that he had to look after you in COVID. We weren't just trying to build an online church. We were trying to deal with all these things, figure out locations, navigate parenthood. It was 30% of the country in the world closed in COVID without the added pressures of everything that I've just mentioned. The fact that we are here today is a testament to Pastor Kevin and Simba, the leadership team, and to you, that we are here and we're on the brink of a brand new day, and it's so exciting. And so I want to say thank you, Pastor Kevin. You are a true gentleman. You are a man of God, and I'm so grateful for you. I want to say thank you to the leadership team who walked with us in this journey and who fought for friendship and fought to be family. I do believe that we've gone from being a church family to family through those things, to Frank and Lily, to Damaris and Sam, if I start going any further, I'm going to get myself in trouble. So may I say from the bottom of my heart, thank you. I believe that I wanted to say these things to help us go, there have been challenges, but I tell you what, in the middle of that, I feel more whole and healed than I ever have been. Not in my own strength, but in the brokenness and the grace of God on my life. God has been doing a work in both our locations. God has been doing a work in you. God has built our leadership team to a place of unity that is far stronger than it ever has been. We are living in what I believe are the most significant times the church has faced in the last 500 years. And we have the opportunity to walk in the future together and do something absolutely magnificent for the Lord. That's what I have to say about the past season. I also want to talk about, I should probably pray before I go any further. That's like a long introduction. I told you there was going to be a lot of things to talk about. Let's pray, because this is my heart today. I want you to, you know, I want you to be able to hear and catch what I share, because this has come out of 3 years of diving into the heart of God about what His heartbeat is for the church. And the only way that we can walk into the future together is if we understand this, if we catch it. Not just understand it and hear it, but catch it and see it. And that requires ears to hear. That's why we value being a prophetic church. We are not a church that just goes through the motions. We are, even some of the delays in COVID about getting systems and structures set back up that we used to have, we didn't want to go back to how things used to be. We didn't want to rush back and just get on the treadmill of church. We wanted to incline our ear towards heaven to say, God, what do you want your church to look like? And so that is going to require a patient church. That is going to require a flexible church. God is not finished reforming His church in the time in which we live. The stretch is not over. We're still getting clarity. However, we can see the macro level ideas that God is breathing on, and we have some blueprints to help build effectively in this time and to help us guide us walking together as two locations in time three. And I'm going to unpack some more of that as well. So let's pray. I'm praying that you would open your heart and your ears today, and that God would speak to us and do far beyond what I can communicate in this moment. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for what has been. Lord, we honor and we honor you. We honor one another. Lord, we honor every bit of hard work, every plowing, every building that has happened that we do see. We thank you for every contribution of Rhythm City Nairobi church members that has not been seen. And we just thank you for how you've been forming us and shaping us. Lord, that you're making us more like you. You're making us more like a church that reflects you to the world. And Lord, we come with expectation today that what lies ahead, and not in a cliche way, but it is far greater than what has been. We thank you, Lord, the best is yet to come. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts to have one heart and one mind here today. Lord, that we would be able to walk together in the future. Lord, that you would knit our hearts, that you would help us let go of what needs to be let go of, and that you would help us cling to what needs to be clung to. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good. So as I mentioned, I believe that what God is doing in the church through COVID, there's three ways to view what COVID was to the church. The first way of viewing COVID in the church is that it was a disaster. And for a number of churches and church leaders, that was probably true. Churches closed, everything was pulled out from underneath them, and it was a really difficult time. The other way of viewing it is that COVID was a hindrance, meaning it's just something that's in the way for now, stopping us from going back to how things have always been. So that all we need to do is wait it out, and then now we can get on with business as usual. The third way, and the one that I subscribe to, is that COVID has been a catalyst. That COVID has been a catalyst in the church, not to disrespect the significant negative impacts it's had on the world, but in the church, it has been the best thing that's happened to us in my lifetime. Because it has caused us to reflect on what we were doing, and to cause us to really ask questions about how much we were aligned with the heart of God and what we need to do differently to get that right. And so I believe that these changes are so significant that I've been talking about this season as a new reformation. That 500 years ago, the Protestant Reformation changed the trajectory of the church more than nearly any time in the 1500 years previous. I believe that this is the next most significant season in the history of the church. And you have been put on the planet at this time for this reason. To see the kingdom of God come into a very dark world and to be the church that God has called us to be. 1 Chronicles, I don't have this scripture, Tim. 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives. All these men understood the signs of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Now, I've mentioned some of these thoughts over video, as I said, but we're going to talk a lot more about this over the next 2 years because we need this to live within us across our locations so deeply, it will be very hard to be deeply connected to Rhythm City Church over the next 2 years without an understanding of the times in which we are living in. Because we are not going back to business as usual. Even though some of the things are the same, and some of the things will remain the same, but we are consistently asking ourselves, and we are at the very beginning of asking God, what does it look like to be the church in this time? And so I'm really praying, and although you might have heard some of these thoughts, I'm sharing some of them again because I want to layer it in within us, not just into our ears, but into the very fabric of who we are as the people of God and as the church. So how can I summarize what I think God's done through COVID? I remember at the beginning of COVID, there was a lot of talk going on like that said things like this: we can't go back to the way things used to be. And I remember hearing one particular leader in our C3 movement say that, and I got a little bit angry. I said, that's great for you to say, but give us some answers. What does that look like? It's all great to say that, you know, there's different ways of doing things, but I'd like to understand what some of those are. And so I was faced, something shifted on the inside of me, and I thought, am I going to wait out this COVID season and wait for someone else to tell me what I need to do? Or am I going to labor in the presence of God, into the heart of God, to get something firsthand about what He wants? And so that's what I did for the last 3 years. It wasn't just online church. It wasn't just how do we get through this so we can get back. But a big part of what God has been doing in me over the last 3 years is to say, what are you saying, Lord? And what are you calling us to? And so some of the key ideas about this new reformation is this. When lockdown hit the church, many people left the church all around the world. If you notice that some of the people that used to worship next to you have gone, don't consider yourself unique. Every single pastor in every part of the world that I talk to has the same story. It has been a great revealer of the spiritual health of much of the church. It was a deep revelation that for many people, instead of being mature, resilient disciples who can self-initiate their spiritual walk, they had become dependent on the Sunday gathering, and they had become dependent on the ministry of church leaders and someone else other than themselves. Now, let me clarify that if that's you, this is not a guilt trip. I'm just trying to explain the state of play. The good news is this: if that is you, there is a great return coming into the house of God, and you are invited. Wipe away any guilt or shame. Wipe away anything that you feel like I didn't do it good enough. You are welcome back in the church. You are welcome back into the arms of God. You are welcome back home. Let me establish that straight up. So what I'm talking about is not to make you feel bad. We are in a season of divine mercy, and God is calling His kids to Himself. However, we have to talk real, because that was a reality. Instead of church, reflecting on pre-COVID church, instead of church being a place of worship, instead of church being a place of celebration, instead of church being a place of equipping for Monday to Saturday, it became a spiritual crutch for many people who depended on that as their primary and sometimes only spiritual input for the week. So when that crutch was taken away from them, when lockdowns happened, what happened? People fell over. They didn't have enough resilience or ability on the inside to even click a link to jump online. And again, no guilt trip. It's very silent in here. You're not in trouble. No one's in trouble. I'm painting a picture. When online church didn't meet our needs, it didn't meet our preferences. Oh, I don't really like online church. I prefer to be in person. Guess what? We can't. Back then, the only option to stay true to the community, to the church, to the mission of God was that. But it became very hard for people as well. On the other hand, there was a remnant. People like yourself who dove in, who put the preferences aside and said, I'm going to remain with my people and I'm going to follow Christ into the unknown of this whole season and I'm going to walk wherever God leads. And so, it forced us to reveal that there is a discipleship crisis in the church. There's a discipleship crisis in the church. And that word discipleship has come to the forefront of every prophetic conversation that I've heard in the last 2 years in the life of the church, that God is breathing on, or shall I say, bringing an end to consumer Christianity, corporate Christianity, attractional Christianity, where it's all about us coming and bringing. And God is looking to build mature, resilient, missional, transformed disciples who will turn the world the right way up again. And we have, through everything, at least in Australia, for instance, Australia was walking and is walking so far away from Christianity. However, I have noticed that COVID has given an opportunity for people to realize the wealth, the security, the family that they so trusted in and that so replaced God and church couldn't save them, couldn't help them. And there is an opportunity more than ever before to see people come back to God and to see the church move forward. God is looking for people who will love them with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Religion and half-hearted Christianity will not cut it in these times. These are times when God is looking for people who will, yes, come together on Sunday, worship, enjoy one another, but will live as fervently and passionately and spiritually on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, as they do on Sunday. That is what God is looking for in this time. He's looking for a church that is not a one or two or three person show. He's looking for a church where every person is activated and sees themselves as a minister on the earth. He is looking to get rid of some hierarchy and instead focus on function. I'm not a hierarchy person. I'm not better than anyone. I have a different function in the life of the church. But you have as much calling, as much grace, as much anointing to make a difference in what you do every day of the week as I do. I'm called primarily to do that in this space. Most of you are called primarily to do it out there. And if we're not doing that, we're not the church that God wants us to be. And so God is equipping the people of God. He's getting rid of some of these unhealthy things that were in the life of the church, and He is making us brand new. So, slides are about to begin, Tim. So now we can start. No, we've already started. But as I said, I don't know, maybe you've felt over the last 2 years we've been talking about some of this, and you're like, wow, we've talked about a lot of stuff. I don't really get a lot of it. It's a bit unclear and new reformation, discipleship, maturity. How do I make sense of all that? Well, to do that, we decided to come up with one statement to help summarize and to clearly state the heartbeat of Rhythm City Church. Are you ready for it? Drum roll, please. Thank you. Tim, we can go for it. Drum roll, please. There we go, here we go. The heartbeat of Rhythm City Church is to be a global family of maturing, spirit-filled followers of Jesus. Done, that's it. Were you expecting something more fancy? Good, because I want to talk about that. Next slide. I want to unpack bits of this. Heartbeat. We wanted not to create, now I hope this is culturally appropriate, we didn't want to create the sexiest statement. We didn't want to woo you. We don't want to wow you. We don't want to market ourselves to you. We don't want to try and set ourselves apart from every other church and say how much better we are than every other church, because we're not. We've got the same mission as every other church in the city. We have a unique expression of how we're going to go about that. But every church, you want to know the mission statement of every church on the earth? Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them, baptizing them, etc., etc. I don't know where we got to the point where we felt like we had to have the grandest mission statement, make us sound like the best church in the city, the most significant church in the city. We're one church in the city. I love our church in the city. I think we're a good one. I'd love for you to hang around. but we didn't want to create something where we got applause. Wow, that's so amazing and inspiring, Pastor Gar. We wanted to communicate our heartbeat. As it is, honestly, authentically, transparently. We wanted to not create a vision or mission statement, which, again, if that works in a certain church, that's fine. Our conviction was just that we wanted a heartbeat, not a corporate goal, not a set of things where we're coming up with plans to go to, but something that sums up what is the thing that beats deep within the inside of us. It's a mandate. It's something that God has asked of us. It's something that if we didn't do this, I would feel like I was being disobedient to what God was beating within me. And so it's a heartbeat. This is what, if you look aside from all the programs that we do, every service, every table, every training gathering, if you look beneath the heartbeat of that, why are we doing all that? It's because we have something beating on the inside of us to be a global family of maturing, spirit-filled followers of Jesus. And that might not be sexy enough, but I find it very sexy. I find it really, really thrilling, because to make disciples and to partner with God on the earth with what's dear to His heart, it's one of the most exciting things for me to do on the earth. Secondly, global family. We're a global family. 5 to 6 years ago, the Lord put a ridiculously stupid idea into the heart of Garth and Jamie. That's not meant to be irreverent. It's just the way it is perceived at times. While we were here in Nairobi to build one church with a location here in Nairobi, that was the obvious one, that was the first one. It started here. One in Australia and one in Dubai. And what's next there, Tim? I can't remember the slides that I've created. No, don't worry about that one. We'll go back for a second. We'll get that. We'll do that in a second. But Revelation 7:9 talks about the new creation and the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, here we go. Beautiful. I did have that. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Every nation, tribe, people, language. If we don't like people from different parts of the world, heaven's going to be a really tough place. Two things that you need to like, or else maybe reconsider your final destination. Worship and people. If worship's boring, heaven's going to be very boring for you. If you can't behold the Lord, and we don't have often a worship problem, we have a sight problem, a revelation problem. We stop seeing God for who He is. We focus on our own problems and ourself more than Him. If we come to church, and I'm sort of stealing my next few slides. If we come to church to worship, do you know what? The only person who can tell you if worship was good on a particular day is God. Because regardless of what happens up here, it's not here to meet your oral, is it? Hearing? Oral needs and preferences. Yes, it would be great. It's nice when we have good music. It's easier when it's not screeching and out of tune. However, the purpose is not so you feel goosebumps. The purpose is that God is lifted high. That's a sidetrack. So global family, we are building a family, not a franchise. I'm not a CEO, and I didn't sell a franchise to Pastor Kevin. Do you want the Nairobi franchise? We're not in that market. We are waving the Jesus banner, not the Rhythm City banner. And I'll never ask you to call me global senior pastor. My name is Garth. Nice to meet you. That's what you can call me. I have a function across our locations, but my name's Garth. We're a family. Our heart is about building people, not building an empire. And we're going to do that through a whole different ways, largely travel and technology. In May, not only is Jamie, Elsie, and Georgie coming to see you all, but we're bringing about 20 people from our Newcastle location. And we're going to do a Rhythm City gathering. We're going to do a whole lot of fun things together. We're not just going to be doing church meetings all the time. We want you to get to know each other. We don't just want to be existing doing some church work together. We want to get to know one another. We want to invite, I'd love for you to invite people into your house and to have tables together and to eat together and to talk together and get to know one another. And so that's going to be really exciting. I'd love to invite you at your cost. To Australia. You're welcome. At your cost. I know what happens when you throw out an invite around here. Well, thank you. Send the ticket to my inbox. We're praying that you would prosper so much that you could make it. This is what we can do. When you come, accommodation is sorted for you. We will host you. We will host you. Someone in the church. Not necessarily personally every time. I'll do my best. We'd love to personally, but Jamie could kill me if I have, you know, about 100 people turning up from overseas each year, staying in our house. We'll look after you. Let's summarize it that way. We're going to plant a church in Dubai, people. You're going to plant a church in Dubai. Not me. All of us. Newcastle. Nairobi, we're going to come together, we're going to get to know one another, and we're going to invite another city into that space. They're the three locations that, not that are good ideas, but the Bible talks about this word metron, which is a God-assigned space of influence and authority. And we believe that the metron that God has given to us is those three cities. We're not looking for the places that we like the most, we're looking for the places where we feel like God is breathing on that. In July, we tried to get the leadership team up to Dubai with some of the team from Newcastle. About half from each location made it. And we spent a few days together praying, getting to know one another, praying over the city and praying for the future and talking about how we exist as a multi-site church. And there's many ways to do multi-site church, and it can get very complex. You need to understand what God is calling us to. And that's what I'm saying. I want to try and communicate. And again, part of all of that stuff that I talked about at the beginning meant that I haven't been able to communicate a lot with you directly. And again, I apologize for that. We are really, as a team, we're going to make that happen. We're now poised to make that happen more and more, to help some of these things come to you more clearly and more effectively. And so we had the most incredible time together. I was going to share, maybe another week we can organize for Sharon, Amunga and Frank to share some of the things that happened there. But the summary was this: when we met, we thought it was going to be a little bit awkward. People that had never met each other face to face, we thought, let's get heaps of ice breaking activities to help people get to know each other. It was all unnecessary. Someone said, maybe you, Frank, I don't know, that it was more like a reunion than a introduction. God did something together in us where we became at that space together. And we're believing that that will flow out. We prayed, we talked about things into the future, and we're going to have a lot more clarity about different functions. What does Garth do? What does Kevin do? What does the leadership team do? Who do I talk to about certain things? We're trying to get a whole lot of things more sort of, we spend a whole lot of time on things like this. So we're making progress. It's not a finalized product, the model of multi-site that we're walking into, but it is a work in progress. And we're trying to really seek God about how that works together. But also we prayed for Dubai. We prayed for the city. We just committed the future into the hands of God. And a really interesting thing happened. One of the most significant things that happened that week is that God almost put like the green light to start dreaming about what that would look like and start even taking steps towards seeing a church in that city. And so in a few hours, 12 hours, Lockie and I and the Vakilus, we're going to go to Dubai for, well, we'll be there doing it. And tomorrow on Monday night, we'll be doing a Rhythm City Dubai interest gathering with 12 people who have said, are you doing anything anytime soon? We want to be a part of it. And we're going to cast vision. And it's not going to be that we're going to go and do traditional church plant immediately. It's going to, I'm going to propose to them that we might have them gather around a table for a year, and that team from Newcastle and Nairobi can zoom into that and help them understand this kind of stuff. Because we don't want to start a church with people who have no idea what our heartbeat is. And so we're going to say, would you do church a little bit differently for a year and join with us? If they will, we'll do it. If they won't, we'll wait until people are ready to move there to plant the church. So I wanted to give you an update on that. Maybe as I'm talking, some of you are feeling a little stirring for that church plant. Let God speak. I would love to see people from Newcastle and Nairobi go and be part of that team. Worth thinking about. Also, on this note, sorry, you can leave that. Rhythm City Church, we changed our name. We did it online. If you weren't there, you probably missed it. And we talked about why Rhythm City. And this point, family, is the reason we changed our name. That we cannot be two churches, one church in two locations without sharing the same name. It's like, oh yes, there's C3 Nairobi. This thing is magnetic. It keeps stealing my microphone. We can't be, oh, C3 Nairobi, C3 Mayfield. And, you know, when you get married, you join together. And we are family. And we are part of C3 Church. We love Pastor Phil and Chris Pringle. And this is actually very in line with changes that C3 have made to say, if you have a multi-site church, you don't have to have C3 in the name. You can have a multi-site name that identifies you as a family. So we're not like breaking the laws of C3 or trying to say that we're not part of C3. It's great to be part of something bigger than ourselves. It's great to be part of a movement, but that's different. That's a movement of independent churches. It's great for accountability. It's great for input. It's great for just making sure that we are thinking big. But the primary visionary and relational element is Rhythm City. It's us, the three churches, one location. That's what we're driving towards. And we will do that as part of C3 Church. I hope that makes sense. Okay, next. Followers of Jesus. Another word for disciples. We just wanted to say it in a way that maybe people could understand. Discipleship has been used a lot. And for maybe people coming in, we wanted to make it a bit more accessible. But discipleship. As I mentioned, we need to figure out, and one of the problems and one of the causes, in my opinion, and I have been doing a master's on discipleship, and so a lot of this is like a summary of that. This is not just a Garth idea. I've put a lot of these ideas to the test. I just want to clarify that as well. It's not like, well, I've just come up with something. It's something that I did initiate and hear God about, but it is something that as I've tried to disprove it through research, it has only affirmed my suspicions. And so one of the challenges to a discipleship crisis in the life of the church is that we have no definition about what it means to be a disciple. If you read all the literature out there, you'll find if there are definitions, they're either too broad. There's many people that have a go at it, but there's nothing that says this is what a disciple is. And one of the reasons that makes that difficult is that there are a lot of elements of discipleship. There are the relationships that make discipleship happen. Of course, it's very relational discipleship. There are the atmospheres in which we find ourselves that facilitate discipleship. But one of the things that I've aimed to define more than anything else is the goals of discipleship. And they are as follows. To enjoy relationship with God, to embody the image of God, to embrace the family of God, and to engage in the mission of God. And this came, if you go away and read John 1 and the calling of the first disciples, you will find that people were called to follow Jesus and know him. You will find things like this. Your name was this, but it's going to be that. You're going to be changed. You're going to be transformed. You're not just going to get forgiveness, you're going to be formed into the image of Christ. Not only that, but it wasn't one person that followed Jesus, it was pairs, other people. It would be much nicer and easier at times and less friction if we could just follow Jesus personally. People can be annoying. And if you don't think that, you might be the annoying one. No, I'm just joking. No. But so I read a quote recently that just blew my mind, and I really think it's worth consideration. Your faith may be personal, but it's never private. Your faith may be personal, but it's never private. We are called into the family of God, and we are called into the family of God with all the brothers and sisters that follow him as well. Engaging in the mission of God. You know what? We can get so intrinsic in the church. We can look at ourselves. We can create programs. But we rarely live on mission. And as I said before, we need not to do more missions, not to do more programs, but to mobilize every believer into a missional lifestyle in the world that God has placed them. All four of those, I believe, are very important. And they're almost consequential as well, that you can't do any of the others if you don't know Jesus. It's all about knowing him, intimacy, relationship. But when you know him, you will be changed to be more like him. And as you are changed to be more like him, you'll be a lot easier to get along with in the family. That's why it's important that we change. Well, it's one reason it's important. But not only that, one of the messages that I talked about on Friday night was about our love for one another and how seriously God takes that. We have to get the family of God right if we are going to do the mission right. It says, the world will know you are my disciples, not by your social justice programs, not by your benevolence, not by your church attendance, but by your ability to love one another. Now, because we were having our own fight as a leadership team to fight for that, and we have, and we are, as I mentioned, in an incredibly united place, you might have felt some fallout from that, because what comes from the head flows down. Forgive us for that. We're human, and we were working on things. But right now, as restoration has taken place, a new anointing is flowing to you. You will find it easier to love one another. We will make decisions to love one another. We will fight for that. We will either communicate with one another or we will forgive one another. We will not run from one another. We will not criticize one another. We will not gossip about one another. We will honor one another. And in that, the anointing flows. And as we do that, we will be on mission and a sign of wonder to the world. It's very exciting times. So discipleship. Next one. The other thing that I've tried to define is some of And some of these things will change because I'm trying to define it. The language might change, but the concepts won't. The next one I've tried to define is some of the environments of discipleship. Hence, you've heard us talking about temple, table, training, technology. And some of the environments that we want to create as a church for you to grow and to become a disciple are these areas. Temple, how good it is to gather together. So good to be here on a Sunday. That's an important part of our church life. We are here to exalt God. As I mentioned, that was when I was going to talk about what I talked about before, but I've talked about that. We are here to worship. We are here to encourage one another. It's good that we feel encouraged and we walk out feeling more strength, more hope, and stronger than when we came. That's a good thing. We are here to encounter God. We don't want this to just be something you tick off the box. We are praying that every service, every gathering, you hear something, you get insight into something, but even more than that, that you are equipped. Now, one thing we're trying to work on in 2023 is to help our messages not just lead us to exalt God, not just lead us to encourage one another, not just lead us to encounter, but to equip us. We're trying to get more practical. We're trying to give you something so that when you wake up on Monday morning, you're not confused. And I'm not saying that that's the case. Pastor Kevin is an incredible preacher. So you guys have just got some of the best in the business. But this is just some of the stuff that all over the world I think we need to look at, myself included. How do I not just make you go, wow, that was a great revelation, but on Monday you forget about it? How do I give you something to do on Monday morning? We have done exaltation, encouragement, and encounter really well. We now need to work on our equipping. Table is not just talking about Sunday's message. It's not just a mini church service. We're not depending on the table leader like we depend on the pastor. We are a body. And the point of that is to eat together. Again, so much rationale behind that. Eating and drinking together is something that is dear to God's heart, in my opinion. It is a place of ministry where it's not just one person ministering and leading a discussion. It's a place that as we eat together, we hear and we receive from one another. And we're figuring out ways to do that better and better, to draw that out. And it's a place of meaningful relationships. Not necessarily just in that space, but something that's, you're not going to be best friends with everyone around the table. You don't have to be. We're church family together, but you don't have to be best friends. But if you can find in our table spaces one or two people that become a brother or a sister, a covenant person to you, someone that you can pray with, someone that you can debrief with, someone that you can talk with, that would be a really exciting place for me. It's the springboard for meaningful relationships. Training, we're going to do more and more courses which are more immersive and intensive educational experiences so that we are gaining knowledge and impartation for areas in our life that we need help in to be disciples. And technology, well, we're just scratching the surface at that. Some of the heart around this is to reach people who are... We don't just want to broadcast our service to the world. We want to create meaningful content so that people who are far from God and far from church can access something that draws them closer. We want it to be alternative ways of gathering, like in Dubai. We don't have permissions to start a public service yet. We now have technology and table combining to start a church potentially without temple. It's not that we're not aiming towards temple, but it's a way forward. And also, obviously, as much as it's going to be great to be seeing each other face to face, it's not like we're going to see someone from other locations every month in person. Maybe it'll end up like that, but for now, technology, although granted in my criticisms of online church, yes, I recognize it isn't the same as seeing you face to face, but it's a good step. And so we can use technology as ways of communicating and ways of moving forward. So that's a lot. I know you're drinking from a fire hydrant this morning, but I pray that this is something that layers into you so that we can meditate on this, outwork it together, and move forward together. Time. Oh, my goodness. Time is short. Two last things. Maturing. This is a big one. And it might sound boring, and I'm okay with that. Because I personally find it enthralling. That maturity is there's something in the way things are designed for maturity to take place. I'm going to use a few parenting analogies
If you find that awkward, you can leave and use the bathroom right now. I'm going to be that parent. I know you don't care maybe about some of the things that I care about. But when I see my daughter do things that she should do, I'm happy about it. And it's like, why does this bring me such joy when she does these things? It's because that is the way it's meant to be. When she goes from being fearful of the swimming pool to diving in and staying under longer than I feel comfortable with, and gives me a little bit of anxiety on the inside. I'm like, get up, come on. When she does these things, I'm like, wow, look at you go, jumping in on the side of that pool. I could go on and on, but there is something in us that is designed to mature. God is serious about this stuff. Ephesians, okay, I can't read this all. We're out of time. But let me just read Ephesians 4, verse 13. This will continue until we all, you can read these later, please. Is this part of maturity where you can take something, wake up on Monday morning and say, why don't I read that scripture this morning to help this sink in? This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children, verse 14 says. Incredible. Hebrews 5:11 says this. Let me just read it out. 5:11-6:2. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You're lucky you got pastors like Pastor Kevin who don't say that as his message on Sunday morning. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need to teach someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. I'll stop it there. Go on to maturity. The Bible doesn't criticize children for being children. It criticizes adults for being children. That is why we have the word mature, to be maturing disciples or followers of Jesus rather than mature. Not everyone that comes in is going to be mature. That's okay. Some people, like Elsie, there comes a time where maturity, as I said before, means that we can self-initiate things in our own life. When we're immature, we need someone else to do it for us. So let's talk about another parenting analogy, toilet training. When Elsie's a baby, she has no idea. She just goes to the toilet and says, Dad, you know, go for it. Fix it. She doesn't even know. I just do it for her because she's a baby. So when people come in with messes to the church, clean it up for them, for the babies. They're babies. They're young Christians. We help them. We love them. We show grace and mercy. Well, we show grace and mercy to everyone. But we understand the stage of life. But then all of a sudden, Elsie starts to toilet train. But we're still encouraging her, right? Because if when they're learning, if you don't say, hey, do you need to go to the toilet? They get distracted and they do it right there. And so we're constantly saying, hey, do you need to go to the toilet? We're helping them in their ability to self-initiate. Then after a while, hallelujah, a great time in parenting life, your child says, I need to go wee-wee. And you're like, or all of a sudden, she is now initiating that journey. And I still help her finish off business and things like that. But she's now initiating that. Then she says things like that. This, Dad, I need privacy. Have you had that? I need privacy. Oh, okay, madam, I'll leave you to it. And then I come back in and help. And before long, any involvement in that space is just going to be inappropriate, because she's going to be well and truly able to sort it all herself. Maturity is God's design. We are supposed to be able to move from depending on other people to being mature in our spirituality and to self-initiate our spirituality. Not mature, maturing. We're always maturing. We're always going from one level to another. But we must go from one level to another. We can't stay where we are. There's too many children running around in adults' bodies on the earth. We need adults in adults' bodies, spiritual and physical. Let me just leave that one at that. Lastly, spirit-filled. We are proudly Pentecostal. And some people, that's had negative connotations, that word. I don't care. It's a great word. Because I was born again in revivalism. I was born again in an atmosphere of God's activity. That is deep within the inside of me, and it will not let go. Pentecostal basically means we are passionate about seeing people baptized in the Holy Spirit, often as a secondary experience to salvation, but also as a daily ongoing experience and reality. It means that we want to see the activity of God in our corporate gatherings as well as our day-to-day lives. And it means that we value the gifts of the Spirit. We believe they are for today. And we want to see all of them activated in the body. I've been grieved in recent years when churches who are Pentecostal by name make no room for the Spirit of God to work in their communities. They make church an hour. They say, don't speak in tongues. They say, don't prophesy. It's like, well, are you even Pentecostal? Don't call yourself a Pentecostal if you don't believe in these foundational, powerful experiences of the Holy Spirit. I'm happy with a little bit of weirdness. Not unnecessary weirdness. That's where it gets weird, if it's unnecessary. We don't want to be the unnecessarily weird people. Let's not huff and puff and blow the house down if that's not what God's calling us to do. But if we take away every unusual experience in the Gospels and we rip those pages out of our Bible, you're not going to have much left. Because when God works, it is sometimes unusual. I'm okay with a little bit of messy. We need the power of God in our church. You cannot be a maturing disciple without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is an impossible task. And so people, the heartbeat of Rhythm City Church is to be a global family of maturing, Spirit-filled followers of Jesus. Everything that we do moving into the future is to try and produce that in you. It's to try and, in all of those areas, because sometimes, the reason I define those goals, sometimes we can just think, oh, discipleship just means knowing God a bit better. No, it means knowing God, it means being transformed, it means being in His house, and it means living on mission. That's what we're trying to do for you. We're trying to give you tools to see you living that out. That's the best that I've got to explain it to you. So I hope that makes a little bit of sense. The other thing that I didn't set up... I wonder... We can do it. I want to vote. We're going to show you the logo. The new logo, Rhythm City Church logo. So we don't just have to have like normal font and text, and we can get merch and do all sorts of fun stuff. But I didn't log in to show it to you. Maybe, Pastor Kevin, come and pray for us all. I'll go and do that. Come and lead us in a response to that. And I would love for everyone to come out the front. Why don't we stand up? We're going to take an act together. We're going to be... everyone, because sometimes when you go, oh, if you want to respond, can't. No, we're all responding. Come on out. Take a step forward from wherever you are, closer to the front, here on the carpet, right now. Come, you can do that. We're going to stand together. We want to pray together. Come. Don't be shy. We're all coming. Even if you can't get to the front, take a step beyond where you are. One step forward. We're going to pray together. We're going to close and reconcile the previous season. We're going to make a decision to walk into the future together. Terrence, come right up here. Come right up to the front, people. You can move my bag and make space for everyone. Come right down. We're not going to spit too much. I don't know about Pastor Kevin, you may. But that's all right. It'll be anointed anyway if that happens. Yeah, that's right. We want to... As I said, this is not an event. I want to prophesy and declare that this is the beginning of a new day. It's the beginning of the future. It starts now. I would love to invite every single one of you to join us into that. Except Mary and Festus. Well, maybe not even except Mary and Festus who are moving. Maybe even them. I have a suspicion, Pastor Kevin, that somehow, some way, these guys are going to play a role in the future of Rhythm City Church, even though they're moving location. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to let Pastor Kevin just wrap up some things. Would you lift your hands to heaven for a moment? If you feel like, firstly, you've been far from God, or you feel like the last 3 years you have made some not great decisions, I'm praying for you right now. This is a time to let it go. It's a time to move on. It's a time for a fresh start. It's time to walk into the arms of God. I'm going to get Pastor Kevin to pray for these things. People coming back to God. I'm going to pray for those of you who are feeling any kind of heaviness or bitterness or offense from the last season, that you would release it in this moment. And I'm going to pray a prayer, and Pastor Kevin's going to pray a prayer of consecration for us moving into the future. We're going to say, here we are, send us. We're going to say, we're together. We're going to say, let's do this. We're available. So Pastor Kevin, got those three things?